Bill Spadia is compensated for commercial and nonprofit appearances. The opinion of the hosts, callers, and guests on this program are not those of New Jersey 101.5, Town Square Media, or station advertisers.
So 9 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. I want to thank the Parks Casino for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. And as the song says, I am back. All right, it's Friday, so that means after the 8:30 news, we'll have a very special Blue Friday. After 9 o'clock, we'll do our check-in on New Jersey veterans. But first, there's a lot of wacky news. That's what I'm calling it. Eric, the first of all, the shooting in Freehold.
Yeah.
And, right. What they said, isolated incident. What does that typically mean? That lovers quarrel or some guy pissed off at his boss? Or
Basically, it was, you know, whoever was involved, that was who was involved. It wasn't, you know, random shooter who, you know, is going to.
So does that mean a suicide? The guy went and shot himself?
Not necessarily. No, but no. And that's the problem. We don't know anything that is going on at this point. It looks
It's Freehold.
It's Freehold, yeah.
At the library.
Which is right by the Hall of Records and right by the county hall. So it looks like the individual was shot on Main Street and may have fled either to or into the library. It does not look like the individual was shot in the library. And there's news video that's circulating that shows blood on the steps leading up to the door of the library. But I mean, this was just as people were getting off work and it caused chaos. I mean, police swarmed the area and it was a pretty tense situation for a while. Isolated incident means there's no threat to the public, that whatever happened was between, you know, the suspect and the gunman or gunmen.
But there was a shooter and a victim. It was not a person who just happened to fire his weapon.
Correct. Yes.
Interesting.
So
from your experience and what Santiago, the Monmouth County prosecutor, means by that is they know, they just haven't told us. Because they would have to know for them to say it was isolated.
Yes. And usually when that happens, it's because it's an ongoing investigation. Mm-hmm. They don't have a suspect in custody. So they don't want to do anything or say anything that could potentially impact negatively the investigation or the search for a suspect.
All right, so we don't know then if they have the suspect in custody.
We do not know that. Yes, we do not know that.
I'm always concerned when they say isolated because they know something, but and I get not interfering with. I mean, maybe it's domestic, and they know. I always wonder if it's job related too. You know, you just never know. Just never know today. What kind of gun was it? Do we know that?
Don't know that either. Yeah. I mean, there are so many potential motives, and what do we always say? In the absence of fact, there is story.
Right.
And there's certainly a lot of story on social media. But we don't know. Was this a dispute over money? Was this somebody upset with their job? Was this a lover's quarrel? Was this a... We don't know any of that. And, that will come out in due time through the course of the investigation. But only once the prosecutor and police are convinced that whatever they say is not going to jeopardize the investigatory process.
Well, and this is part of the problem, you know, that I would say 10 years ago, you and I would have had a different conversation on this. We would have accepted the government line, like, oh, okay, they must know, but they're keeping the public safe. I just have such a different view today. It's so hard to trust anything you hear. Because they're so first afraid of social media, but because they're afraid of social media running amok, social media runs amok.
Well, and they were posting the information on social media.
Right, that's the problem. You're making it worse, guys. Yeah. Good grief. All right, that was the first story I saw. Then the dude with the road rage in Illinois. Did you see
goodness,
that?
Yeah.
What the hell was that?
What a crazy scene.
So the guy is in a cab of a truck.
Yep.
So presumably he already lost the trailer. He dropped the trailer.
Or may have dropped it off. Yeah, but it was just the cab.
And he rammed eight cars?
Yeah. Rammed eight cars. After he finished ramming the cars, he got out of the cab, walked up to one of the cars, physically yanked the driver out of the car, started beating him, tried to strangle him before state troopers were able to subdue him. He's jailed on some pretty serious charges, including attempted murder.
I mean, all I want to know is, did the cab have a Jersey plate? Because if it did, Illinois drivers for the next decade are going to be talking about those crazy Jersey truckers who beat people if you cut them off. Don't cut off the Jersey guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable. I don't know what to say. Attempted murder. Well, I mean, you know, did anyone get seriously hurt other than the guy he pulled out of the car?
I don't believe there were any other serious injuries. The guy that he pulled out of the car was hospitalized. I don't have a condition.
We don't know if he knew him or did the Illinois State Police say this is an isolated incident? There are no more. All the rest of the truckers are fine. They're not pissed off today. Oh my God. I mean, I guess I'm not trying to make light of it, but you know, I kind of am. It just struck me as so absurd
and random, right? I mean,
random.
If you're the driver or you're one of these cars that got rammed, you're just trying to get to wherever you're trying to go, and you're probably frustrated with the traffic and everything else as well. And then out of the blue, comes this chaos. And I understand why some people have elevated anxiety when they go out in public, because you hear these stories and you're thinking, you know, wrong place, wrong time. How do you can't guard against that.
That's the problem.
It just is.
It just happens. So, the traffic out there, though, to be fair, it shouldn't rise to the level of attempted murder. However, that part of Chicago is so bad to drive in. The traffic is bad every day, every time. I've driven through Chicago at 2 in the morning. I've driven through Chicago at 10 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon. It's always bad. So question for you, if you're driving a truck right now, what do you think happened there? And have you been in a situation where you've just wanted to roll right over the four-wheeler who cut you off? 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 6:16 is the time. Traffic and weather next.
New Jersey news when it matters. Breaking updates, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Supported by Hackensack Meridian Health.
In Franklin, 41. Mount Holly, 44. Not quite the summertime. Elizabeth, 46 degrees. Fast traffic, instant weather. Every 15 minutes on New Jersey 101.5. It's coming. Memorial Day only, 3 weeks away, right, Joe?
And
3 weeks,
what's
that's
happening?
Not bad.
Yeah, at my house today, guess what's happening?
You opening the pool.
Yes, the cover's
nice.
Coming off the pool,
cover's
baby.
Cover's off. I love it. Now you're going to see all kinds of schmutz and grossness.
And I call it little autumn. We have these helicopter seeds.
Oh, yeah.
I have the maple leaf tree, or what's that called, maple tree?
I don't know from trees. What do I know?
If you want to come over for a cold plunge.
Nice.
The water's going to be freezing.
It's going to be freezing and dirty. I love it. All right. So I'm starting to think about the summertime. But I want to ask you about this road rage incident. So, guy, I'm not trying to make too much light of it, but I get it. I get that there's a high level of tension. Now, I don't know if this truck driver was a criminal or not. I mean, he's in a lot of trouble. But guy was on route I-57 going into Chicago. Traffic's horrible in that part of the country all the time. Worse than here, by the way. And all of a sudden, according to the report, he rammed 8 cars. He stopped. He gets out of the cab. He drags a driver out of the car and beats the hell out of him. I don't know. My question is, if you're driving a truck, at what point have you had to just sort of clench the wheel and say, all right, I'm not going to get out and run this guy over? Let's go to EJ on 287. What's going on, EJ?
Good morning, Mr. Spadia. Yes, I've been driving a truck since 1980, and there is not one day in my career that I've actually tried to rip the steering wheel cover off.
Yeah.
Because you got to remember, we see what you are doing inside your cars.
Right.
We see through the back windshield. We see through side windows, everything. I have been brake checked almost every single day of my life just cruising along.
And
because somebody is mad, they're behind us. We are just lumbering down the road. We are not trying to hold you up from getting to work or anything else like that. But we have to make progress down the road also. We don't turn around. 99% of the old school truck drivers, we're very calm and very easy. But there's flip-flop mafia out there that they just road rage like nobody's business.
Wait, is that what you call them? The flip-flop mafia?
Yeah, the flip-flop mafia. I can't even go there. The illegals, and they just get us crazy to give us a bad
name. Well, you know, I have to tell you, Jay, you're not wrong. That is the whole the whole idea of illegals driving trucks and getting through the line to be. It's we've seen it. We've seen people killed because of it.
Oh, this has been going on since Clinton with NAFTA when they said we can't go to Mexico anymore, but they can come up.
A million
truck drivers came up and stayed.
Yeah.
So and the wages that they pay them, I mean, we don't get paid a lot of money either. All right, we're underpaid slaves too. But without us, you're not getting anything. You'd be homeless.
I've never heard the flip flop mafia. I mean, is that a I don't know. Is it like an anti Mexican term? Is it racial?
No, it's not anti Mexican. It's just something that you see guys driving around and they just get out of their trucks with flip flops.
I got it. So they're not serious drivers. So it's not a racial thing. They're actually wearing flip flops. I got it. I totally get it, EJ. Yeah, flip flop mafia. Man, but look, man, you're not wrong. I mean, we've been flooded with illegals and a lot of companies cut corners. They throw these guys up there. But, you know, my guess is still the bigger problem is that four wheels don't know how to navigate around a truck. And if I had a dime for every guy I see in the morning pull in front of the truck who's trying to stop at the light and reduce his stopping lane by sometimes, you know, 50, 60, 100 feet. Total nightmare. Super dangerous.
The minimum 600 feet to stop at 55 miles an hour.
And then they cut you by 100, 150 feet by pulling in front of you.
Yeah.
Right? All right, man. Drive safe today, Jay. Got to jump. Good to talk to you. Eddie James, hang in there. We're talking about your rig, your truck, and the road rage that we're seeing out there. 627. Eric Scott with the news next. 6:38 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So we are talking about a Jersey truck driver driving on I-57 going into Chicago. Now, having driven that part of the country many times, and if you're over the road, you know that is a horrible place to be driving. Traffic all the time. I've gone through there literally 2 in the morning with the RV. I've gone through that area 2 in the afternoon. There's always mad traffic. So I understand a little road rage. Now, this Jersey truck driver went a little far, taking his cab and ramming 8 cars, and then getting out of the cab and dragging some dude out of his car, beating the hell out of him. Now, for his part, he's being charged with attempted murder. So the Illinois State Police and prosecutors not messing around. And I can tell you this, there will be stories told by drivers in Illinois and Chicago for many decades about those insane Jersey drivers who, if you cut them off, they might just pull over after they ram you and then drag you out of the car to beat you up. Let's go to James in Keyport. What's going on, James? Oh, James is gone. Eddie in Toms River.
Hey, Bill. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Eddie?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I love the show.
Thank you.
So I'm a truck driver, as you know, from previous calls.
Yep.
Every time somebody cuts me off, I just scoot 2 towns over into Lakewood and let myself realize just how bad it could really be. And then I get out of Lakewood, and I'm fine.
Now, meaning the traffic.
Meaning they drive crazy in Lakewood.
I know, right?
If you can make it through Lakewood, you're okay.
You know, Eddie, it used to be if you could drive in Manhattan, you could drive anywhere. But I would agree. I would say I would go a step further with you, Eddie. If you are skilled enough to make a left turn in Lakewood, then you should be able to get like a certificate on your license and a reduction in your insurance. Right?
Absolutely. If you can make a right turn in Lakewood without somebody trying to sneak up between you and the shoulder, because we have to go a little wide.
Right, right.
Again, you're also a lucky man.
That is really funny. All right. So why don't we, let's call this something. Maybe Lakewood Road Therapy.
Absolutely.
You like that?
I saw a bumper sticker that said, "Pray for me, I drive through Lakewood."
I love that.
Actual bumper stickers.
Who find yep. out who's selling those? That's fantastic. I love that. It's so true. And you know that. But absolutely. I'll tell you though, Eddie, that's changed over the past 10 years. It was not overdeveloped 10, 15 years ago. I used to go to. I taught my kids how to shoot at Sure Shot, which is a range in Lakewood,
right over by Airport Road.
Yes, yes. And we would go yep. on Saturdays, and you know, I used it as an opportunity to talk to the kids about religious tolerance and how great America is that you've got this Orthodox community that they're walking everywhere. And, you know, you got to watch where you're driving because people are crossing the street, et cetera, and a lot of kids out. But then it got to a point where they so madly overdeveloped Lakewood that I can't imagine having to go there.
I can explain it to you in a couple of words. It's town roads with city traffic.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and what's interesting is the leadership, the religious leadership there, they don't get it. They don't get it.
They don't care.
They're so arrogant. I've met with them. You know, I had those meetings during the campaign. Rude, arrogant, and saying we're going to take this to other towns. So I'll tell you something. You don't like what's going on Lakewood. It's coming to Manchester, Toms River. I mean, and they say it. They're like, yeah, we're going to just continue to expand. The problem is they've outdeveloped the infrastructure, and that's why it's so bad. Anyway,
every condo, they don't inspect the condos that they're building over here.
Yeah,
they don't finish the basements until after the condo is inspected, and then we'll drop off all the material. You'll see the inspection stickers are all okay on the doors. Then we'll drop off the materials for the basements. So they're actually building like two houses out of one condo.
How about it? I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. I've had this conversation with the local mayors. Everybody's upset about it, and they're afraid to do anything because the VOD is so powerful, and these politicians are owned by them. Guys like Bob Singer, like he doesn't make a move, doesn't open his mouth unless the Orthodox community tells him which way, how high to jump and which way to turn. It's a shame.
Phil Murphy gave him a green light too.
Well, look, the Republicans are just...
Phil Murphy gave them a green light to do what they wanted.
Yeah, but the Republicans are just as bad in Trenton. Nobody's really addressed the overdevelopment and the fact that I wonder how many zoning infractions are there. And, you know, when people speak up to say something about it, I'll never forget my friend Rob Nixon, who went on to be the lobbyist for the PBA. Now he's still their chief lobbyist, but he spoke up about some of it, and, man, they just hammered him about like he was anti-Semitic. And I'm like, guys, the guy, he's not, has nothing to do with the fact that you're Orthodox. This is about development and infrastructure. Anyway, Eddie, I don't want to get all sidetracked. You already got me up, but thank you. I appreciate it. Hey man, look, all it's a
have
real
a great
thing.
Weekend.
Yeah. You too. Drive safe. All right. I got time. Yeah. Let's go to James in Keyport. What's going on, James? That's interesting. Now, is that Kathy? Is that our phones or is that James?
I'm here.
Hey, there you go. What's going on, James?
Hey, listen, I've been driving 15 years over the road. I mean, 40 tons. I mean, listen, like people every day. I know I get the whole concept. Like, listen, we're slow.
Yeah.
It would take a bit for us to catch up. And then you also have these two. You also have these mega carriers that the vehicles are governed at like 68 miles an hour or 70. Right. And they're trying to compete to pass each other, and it just never happens. And when you finally pass them, everybody's already pissed off, and they just want to step on, just cut you off, or just brake check you, just send a message. Mm-hmm. And all they're doing is playing with fire when they do that. You know what I'm saying? You need, let me tell you, it's 287 between exits 1 and 10 are the worst on rush hour, no matter which direction you're going. You've got Route 1 and 9, forget it. They're famous for that as well. You have, I mean, I can name a bunch of places. And like the guy said from Lakewood, I agree with everything he said. I could tell you that right now. You
yeah,
know?
It's bad.
So forget it. Like, it's just like, I don't know. And now with all these safety equipments too, like if we get to, on some of these newer vehicles, they have these crash avoiding systems. So sometimes it'll brake check for us before we do it. So maybe sometimes people think we're brake checking them, you know, because it detects that we're going
to. I didn't realize that. What does it detect? That somebody's too close to you in front of you? Like what is it? Yeah. What is the trigger?
So on a lot of these newer trucks, they have these crash or like it detects, it knows how fast you're going, and you need to have like a 3-second rule. But when it detects an event where you thinks it ain't, you ain't going to be able to stop, it's going to stop all the brakes. It's going to go. It's going to beep when the alarm comes on. Yes, it's like a crash avoiding system, similar to a lot of the new cars. When you try to back up and it detects that you're about to hit something, and it applies a brake. Same concept happens on.
I have to tell you, James, you must hate it because I hate it. One of my cars has this, and it's a huge pain in the ass when you're backing into my garage. It has brake checked me, and like all of a sudden I'm like, did I just brake the car or did I just hit the wall? Like, you don't need it. You got a camera. I'm capable of looking at the camera and knowing how close I am to the back. I've been driving for 40 some years. I mean, sometimes the technology works against us.
And, dude, I'm telling you that right now. You be going down the road.
Yeah.
There's nobody there, and it's like a ghost light. It detects, like, you're about to crash, but it's either the laser's pointing at some kind of sign or whatever, and it'll step on the brake, right. And there's nobody there.
Yeah, nobody there. Exactly. Man. All right, James, look, be safe out there today. Appreciate you. Have a good one.
No problem.
All right, guys, it's 6:46. If you are an over-the-road driver, if you're local, what's the worst road? I agree 1 and 9 is bad. 287, I think he's totally right. Like between exit 1 and 10, horrible part of the roadway. But if you're over the road, what's the worst city to drive in? Chicago's got to be up there. I think Chicago is absolutely worse than driving in New York. 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 6:46 is the time. Traffic and weather next.
Listen live anywhere in New Jersey. Stream New Jersey 101.5 at NewJersey1015.com or on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Jersey's news, talk, and weather. Always with you. Powered by Hackensack Meridian Health.
6:54 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Hey, I would love to hear from you if you are on the road, driving a truck today. What's the worst that you've seen? Now, I don't mean this to pick on our commuters and four-wheelers, but the reality is many, many drivers simply don't know how to react to a truck. And, you know, you're trying to get ahead of the traffic. I see it on Route 1 all the time. The truck's coming up in the middle lane. I'm in the left lane. And if I'm coming up on a couple of cars, almost every time, if there's a light, the guy in front of me scoots over in front of the truck, which may be, 30 yards behind me on the right. And all that does is lessen the stopping area for the truck. So truck's got, you heard I think it was EJ that told us, you need 600 feet. So if you cut in front 200 feet before the light, you've now cut the truck stopping lane by a third. So, you know, this is the problem. We need to, in my opinion, what we ought to be doing is teaching truck car etiquette on the roads in driver's ed. And I've said this before, I think driver's education should be the entirety of your senior year in high school, and you get your license upon graduation. And you know, teach these kids a better way of managing the roads. And it's not just young people. And by the way, I'm not excusing the Jersey truck driver for beating the hell out of the driver in Illinois. I mean, imagine the shock of that guy. All of a sudden, some lunatic is busting through your car, dragging you out, and bringing you near death. I mean, they charged him with attempted murder. I mean, there's no excuse for that. But that said, I also understand the rising tension and the chaos that our crowded roads have created. And I will tell you, driver etiquette and driver safety, I don't know what the stats are, but forget the stats. I can tell you firsthand, it has gotten way worse on an anecdotal level just from what I see day to day. And, you know, I'm driving to Manhattan to host on Newsmax every Saturday and Sunday. I'm leaving my house at 4 in the morning. There's not a lot of traffic, but some of the worst roadway incidents I've seen that early in the morning. What's the worst you've seen on Jersey roads? 1-800-283-101.5. 6:56. Eric Scott with the news next.
From Chief Meteorologist Dan Zero's weather to traffic that explains what's happening, a powerful local newsroom and conversations you actually care about, New Jersey 101.5 keeps you informed, entertained, and connected all day long.
Billy's back. Billy's back. Billy's back. New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia, and as the song says, I am back. I want to thank the Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook app for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. Eric, I think the it's kind of a game of chicken I'm playing right now with management. The promo that I'm back. I'm back 8 months.
8 months, yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm not really back.
No, you never really left.
I never really left. That really is true. That's how we all feel.
Right.
Some wish I weren't back. I can tell you that. I've met a few. they drive the hate-o-meter every Wednesday.
But see, I appreciate the game of chicken. But I think you are making a very big assumption in this game of chicken.
All right, tell me.
That management is actually listening to this show.
Oh, that's that is a valid point. That is a valid point. I said it the other day. I said, I think Wednesday is their spa day, and they do the manicures, pedicures, and that's why when the phones go down, they don't know about it until like after 8 or 9 o'clock. But I get it, management. You get to a certain level in your career, and, you can kind of phone it in, sleep in a little bit. It's stressful. I understand that. Although, I couldn't believe it yesterday. We had an engineer sighting.
We did?
Yeah.
In my studio.
I was shocked. I saw this unfolding. I warned everybody, though. I gave the PSA for the sales team when they came in. I'm like, listen, don't engage. The way you deal with the engineer, no eye contact.
Yes, no
eye contact. Don't talk to him.
Nope.
Don't feed him. God forbid, don't feed him. Let him just do his thing. And keep your distance. Like, you need what we do is we've advised a 15-foot radius out, like a buffer zone, kind of social distancing, like, really. It's engineer distancing.
Well, I mean, we were heading for a potential confrontation yesterday, and Thomas and I were talking about it. Because Thomas also produces my show. He produces your show, but he produces my show as well. So, because we were getting ready. We have deadlines that we have to meet for a lot of the content that we create. And I was like, do you think he's going to be out of there by the time we need to go in there?
Oh.
Thomas is like,
Yeah, it's touch and go.
I don't know.
How would you have dealt with that?
And I would have gone in and thrown him out.
See, that's a dangerous game.
I know.
Like he could leave a wire unplugged. Like, that's the thing. You kind of rely on the engineer. And I we know he's got a tremendous skill.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it.
We saw the Christmas lights up on the 25-foot tower that carries our signal. That was, that's real skill.
That shorted out the whole building?
It shorted out the building, yeah. Well, look, he had the skill to get the lights up there. The Christmas lights themselves worked fabulously. The radio station, however, suffered just a little bit. But anyway, I think this is good advice, honestly, for any company, if you're in any broadcast or tech company, when the engineer's at work, just let him work, leave him, give him distance. And 15 feet is good because that's puts you kind of in another room.
Right.
Unless you're separated by a wall of glass.
Well, we've done that when we've had interns come in for the morning show. And people were like, okay, now here's a couple of rules you have to understand.
Mm-hmm.
When you go in the studio, do not look Bill in the eye.
Right.
Do not address him directly.
That's right.
Do not have friendly conversation. Just go in, do your job, and walk out. Do not engage.
That's good advice.
And if you've noticed, a couple of them have actually done that until they realize.
I believe you actually tell them that.
Oh, we do. We totally do.
Unbelievable. Yes, I wonder why sometimes they're a little awkward with me.
Right? And it's, well, because we
That's why?
You live in the awkward. Yeah, because we tell them all the time. Look him directly. Don't engage.
Like, why are the interns afraid of me? I don't understand. I consider myself a pretty nice guy. I like to engage. Maybe that was why one of them backed up. Physically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Because they just didn't want to. They knew the
rules. I get it.
And it takes a while for them to understand that we were just hazing them.
That is hilarious.
But, it's,
Is that why they all left?
Maybe.
Wait, there's three of them in the last 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. Oh, man. All right. Where was I? Yes. Richard, do me a favor. Please hang in there. I want to hear your story about what happened on 287. Talking about road rage and just honestly, guys, the idiot drivers that are out there.
are you kind of sick of it? It's not that hard to drive a car. It's not that hard. Why do we make things so challenging and difficult? And by the way, when you're passing me at 110 miles an hour on Route 1 at 4:30 in the morning, you are going to end up a casualty. What the hell are you thinking? Just pace yourself. All right, Richard, I want to hear your story. Other side of traffic with the next 714.
New Jersey 101.5 severe weather alerts deliver fast, accurate, critical updates from Chief Meteorologist Dan Zarrow and the New Jersey 101.5 weather team. Powered by Earth Treasures Jewelers, Ultimate Collision, and Meyer and Depew.
On New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. More of a song to get into the summer spirit, not necessarily dating advice. All right, let's go to Richard in South Amboy. What's going on, Richard? How are you?
Good, Bill. How are you? Good morning. Good morning. Good song by Mungo Jerry.
Right? I love it. Mungo Jerry. Isn't it fantastic? He's telling you to go drink and drive. If your daddy's poor, do what you feel. It doesn't matter. As I said, my disclaimer on that, Richard, is I'm not giving dating advice. I'm just playing the song. Or driving. All right. Or driving advice, for that matter. Anyway, what do you got?
All right, Bill. So I just want to start off by saying I am a truck driver, so I do see a lot on the road. Mm-hmm. But the craziest I've ever seen in New Jersey was on my way to work at 287 by the South Plainfield DMV over there by Exit 5.
Yep.
A car comes flying out of the woods from the DMV. What a great way to start a driver's test, am I right?
Yeah.
Comes flying out of the woods like an action movie, hits a ditch nose first, gets so much recoil from the ditch, comes back up, starts rolling into 287 South.
Wow.
But he's facing east and west.
Wow.
So I'm like, oh, my God. And then he gets T-boned. So I pull over. I get out. I'm trying to take control of the scene. I'm trying to get people, you know, calling the police,
yeah,
calling people to come try to break the window because the dude was unconscious.
No
so
kidding.
When we start trying to break the window, he starts waking up. The police start showing up and everything. But, yeah, it shut 287 down for a little bit.
So at what point did you see it? Did you see the impact, or did you spot the guy flying out of the lot and think, what the hell is that guy doing?
I saw the guy flying out of the lot because I was going north, and this all happened on South. So I saw him fly out of the woods, hit the ditch, come back up, roll into the road, and hit on the T-bone.
I wonder what happened. Now, how long ago was this?
Not too long ago, maybe like a month or so ago.
I mean, I would love to find out. Was it a new driver? Like, did his foot get stuck on the gas? Was it? I mean, you just never know, right? You just never know. That's nuts to see that. Do you think, Richard, last couple of years, have things gotten worse or better on our roads?
So as a professional driver that does over the road, I would say it's definitely gotten worse.
Yeah, I think so too. Now you're over the road, so what's the worst city?
The worst city, honestly, that I've ever driven through had to be L.A. I wouldn't touch
really?
L.A. if you paid me $1,000.
No 100%. Kidding. I'm surprised because I hate Chicago. Not as a city. I mean, I like deep dish pizza. It's not bad. I think the Cubs are decent, but you know, I hate the traffic. Driving through Chicago, I find so aggravating. But I've not spent a lot of time driving in L.A. to be fair, because my son lives in San Diego, and honestly, Richard, the traffic in San Diego, fantastic. Like it's heavy. But people, you know what the difference is? And maybe L.A.'s not like this, and you tell me. In San Diego, they understand the zipper, right? You let the guy in front of you go, then you go. Then the next guy goes, and you alternate vehicles entering and exiting the highway. It's not that hard. We don't know how to do it here. Maybe they don't know how to do it in L.A. Is it just volume, or are people just jerks?
So for me, it's different since I am in an 18-wheeler.
Yeah.
People are just jerks. No one's trying to let me in. It doesn't matter where I'm at.
Yeah.
If they let me in, that's a gift from God. You know, but I mean, besides that, I mean, everyone, from what I've seen, New Jersey's actually very good at the zipper. If you're going through the Holland or the Lincoln or anything like that, like when I'm in the straight trucks,
yeah,
it does go smoother. It does go smoother. The only part I've seen zipper is in New Jersey, 100%.
That's so interesting. I will agree with you on the Lincoln Tunnel and Holland, but I find it on Route 1, it's like a competition to see how far you can cut the lane before you come in. And it drives me nuts. Well, hey, man, good talking to you, Richard. Be safe out there. All right?
Thank you, Bill. You too.
Yeah, you take care. I think he's right that if you're entering the Holland or Lincoln Tunnel, it actually, they're pretty good with that. But you tell me that they know how to zipper on Route 1, no way. Route 1 is, it's the worst road. It just gives me agita. All right, AJ, you'll be first on the other side of the news. Next, 727. And 7:38 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. I think Instagram knows I'm hungry. I just got, I wonder how many other people have seen this. I just got a sardine sandwich recipe.
Oh.
And
ew.
Yeah, see, I figured, Jill, that would be your reaction. And by the way, AJ, hang in there. I'm going to get to you in 1 second. Eric, I feel like you would like this. It's sardines, avocado.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like, I don't know if that's cilantro or parsley. I think it must be cilantro. Then capers and tomatoes.
That sounds delicious.
Capers yeah. with sardines. Capers are very,
I love
very
capers.
Salty, but sardines are very salty.
Looks like this is pickled onions. Now, we have a jar of pickled onions in the fridge because we try to do it every couple of weeks.
You know what?
I love pickled onions.
Do you use the red onions?
Yeah, the red.
I use the red onions. Yep, me too.
It's like the jar looks pink.
So a lot of times what I'll do is I'll actually save the pickle juice.
Oh,
from
yeah.
dill pickles,
yeah,
and throw the red onions right into that.
Really?
And put it back mm-hmm. in the fridge,
yeah.
Or I put cucumbers back in.
Does that work?
Yeah, it makes like a nice, mild.
It's a milder pickle.
Flavors up your cucumbers.
Interesting.
Now I'm so mad at you because I got to get my phone out of here because now I'm gonna have all these.
Well, wait before you do. So you don't get buried sardines. With sardines. I'm also getting hit with pizza. So I do this pizza. So I make the pizza dough. I wrote about it the other day. Prep a pizza. It's the 00 Italian flour. It's made all natural, but you got to make it yourself.
All right. I'm pointing my phone in your direction.
All right, so
you can talk into my phone now.
So
now you're
Jill's
allowed.
Phone. You want prep a pizza. If you're going to make your own dough, you got to look at it. If I could make it and it's easy and it was that simple, but all natural, it's all measured out for you. And the dough is fantastic. Now, I know you're into the cauliflower dough and all that, but as far as pizza dough, I think it's great. Here's the problem. So I'm getting this. So I've got prep a pizza just popped up. Thank you guys for listening. Appreciate that. And then there's this other one, Poco Berra.
I don't know that.
It's $138 for 6 pizzas.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a handmade pizza from Naples, and they look like. They look tiny. They look like little personal pizzas. What do you pay if you go out for a pizza? You'll pay $20.
No, well.
If you're out at a, what does Nomad charge for a pizza? $17 maybe? Maybe a little more?
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing just a cheese pie, you can probably get it for around that.
But I think $140, that's more than $20 a pizza.
A personal pizza?
For a personal pizza?
That's
like
ridiculous.
That pizza ought to float up and feed me. I mean, for that price, my God. I think that sounds too much. I don't know. Here's the thing. What Instagram, I don't know how the algorithm works, obviously, but it works because it must have, there's got to be an assumption built in there that if you're doing stuff on your own and you're busy, if someone can say, hey, I'll get you the exact same pizza, but all you have to do is put it in the oven 8 minutes instead of a day and a half. Right? I mean, there must be some method to that madness. And I'm tempted. Honestly, if the price was half that, I would have bought it.
That's funny.
Because they come frozen, 8 minutes to heat up. I do the prep of pizza. I have to do it the night before. It's like they call it a poolish. And it's the, I don't know what, I don't understand the difference in the flours, but you start it, kind of becomes like this milky texture.
Okay.
And you add all the flour to the milky texture after that is that sets and rises overnight. And then you add the main flour to that, mix that up. It's kind of like a sourdough starter, but not sourdough.
Right.
And it took me, so I let it sit for 12 hours in the fridge. Next morning, I mixed it, let it sit for another hour. It rose great. I mean, it really works great. And it made four pizzas.
Do you have to keep it warm? Do you have to, like, proof the dough?
Yeah, you keep, right. I kept it in the fridge overnight.
Okay.
Brought it out for an hour.
Okay.
Then mix it, then let it sit covered for another, I think it sat for another hour and a half. And Okay. Yes, it needs to warm up.
Okay.
The challenge is that our house is errs on the side of cold. I know yours does too, but that's by design. Yeah. Yours is on purpose.
Yours is
cold.
Tropical compared to right. Our house.
So it took a little, I left it near the oven, but it worked. I made four doughs. We made one pizza and I froze three and I kept it in a ball. And I cook it 6 minutes on 550 and then 2 minutes under the broiler. And wow. It was great. Yeah. I mean, I used fresh mozzarella and the pepperoni I bought off Instagram too. I am pretty much doing all my food shopping on Instagram.
Apparently.
It's unbelievable, but it comes to the door and then you follow
me. I know.
The problem with this, the prepping thing is I had to watch a video and, you know, I've got the patience. Let's just say I'm not a very patient person. I watched the video, 5 minutes, taught me how to do it. Now I can do it. And it comes out great. I want to try your cauliflower pizza, though.
I'm gonna make a batch. I think Sunday I'm gonna start a batch. And like I said, it takes me about a week to get the dough to where I want it to be.
Because it's dry out.
Completely. You want to get all the water out. And so I'll keep it in the fridge in a hanging cheesecloth over a bowl for about a week.
Yeah, you're doing way more work than I'm even going to consider doing. Yeah. Like, I was all proud of myself that I prepped this poolish, whatever that, I don't know why they call it that. I've never heard of that before, but apparently it's like a pre-fermentation or blah, 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 whatever. Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah. But the fact that I had the patience to do that shows you how much I love pizza. But you add one more day into that, I'm out. I'm out. Call a nomad. Deliver. I'm done. Ah, crap. All right. AJ, hang in there. I do want to talk about the roadways in Jersey and the road rage. The conversation started this morning because that lunatic driver, he took his cab. He's in a truck. So this is, I 18-wheel truck, the cab portion. And I don't know if he had already delivered his load or whatever it was. He's on I-57 in Chicago and rams eight cars. The last car he rams, he gets out of the cab, drags the driver out and beats the hell out of him, was finally subdued and is facing attempted murder charges. So, you know, all of Chicago is talking about the insane Jersey drivers. And I thought, you know, they're not that wrong. We are a little crazy. So where's your spot that you avoid? I can tell you Route 1 is horrible. Even the turnpike, quite honestly, I've never seen the turnpike more dangerous than at 4:30 in the morning on a Saturday, because people, they assume there's no cops out there and that there's no traffic, so I can drive 110 miles an hour. Notice to the state police, I'm out there at 4:30 in the morning on Saturday and Sunday, and I think an extra patrol or two starting at 4 is not a bad idea, because people just don't know how to handle an open stretch of roadway. 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. AJ, you'll be first. Other side, traffic on the next.
Get the latest traffic, weather, and local news with New Jersey 101.5, keeping you informed on all things Jersey.
Why has Vineland been so hot lately? Maybe it's the AI center. By the way, stay tuned for that. That battle has just begun, and mark my word, the AI data center in Vineland that has really been just snuck on all the residents there. And they're going to pay for it with higher bills. Where do you see the water restrictions that end up coming from that? This is such a bad idea. And you got a Republican senator down there that totally supports it, as we understand. Maybe I'm wrong. And if he wants to correct the record, that's fine. And thankfully, Congressman Jeff Van Drew has been very solid on this issue, saying you better inform the public and really map and plan this out before you throw this complete energy and water suck into our small town. So thank you,
Congressman Van Drew for being smart about this, but I can tell you this is going to be a major issue. And I would say that the Republican members of the Assembly and Senate in that Cumberland County area, you've already seen Cumberland County start to go more blue with this last election. And it's going to be a tough time for you all come 27 if you're on the wrong side of the average person. The average person is not working at the AI data center. The average person is trying to pay the bills, and they're going to get stuck with higher electric bills and water costs because of this, again, overdevelopment. You know, overdevelopment is not limited to Lakewood, New Jersey. Overdevelopment's happening everywhere, and the politicians don't care, guys. They don't care whether they're Republicans or Democrats. They think about themselves and not you. Why do you think you have so many infrastructure problems in New Jersey? You think these senators and assembly members are riding over 1 in 9? No, they don't care. You can sit there in traffic and look through the bottom of the road and see to the next deck. I mean, the infrastructure issues in this state are horrible. But you've got a political class that is totally detached. All right, let's go to AJ, who's in Vineland. What do you got, AJ?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
So I, you know, lifelong Jersey resident. I've driven everywhere, but I work at Philly Airport, and every day I have to go from 55 to 42 to the Walt Whitman Bridge, and it's always in that one little section.
Yep.
55 North, where it merges with 42 and 295 South.
Horrible.
They don't know how to merge. They're looking at me like a deer in the headlights. I'm like, go, come on. You know,
but AJ, don't you think that merge sucks to begin with? It's not built right.
Yeah.
It's I don't know what, the engineer was drunk when they designed that. It was terrible.
Exactly. I mean, you have the right lane coming off of 55 going to 295.
Yeah.
You have everybody trying to go in and out. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, and you know, AJ, I hear the, you know, reporters do it. They knock the Jersey slide. But the truth is, if you're coming north on that, you almost have to do a Jersey slide because you're not going to get over.
Exactly. I've done the Jersey slide coming into Newark Airport.
Right.
I've done the Jersey slide on the turnpike.
So have I. You don't have time to signal to go from left lane to right lane to center lane to right. Like, no, you got to go. And it's a shame, but the roads are designed terribly. Are you, AJ, what do you think about this construction? How long has that construction been going on?
I don't even know. I'm 43 years old. I don't even know how long it's been going on.
I think it's been almost 20 years that they have been trying to figure out what to do with that highway. Right? And then the retaining wall collapsed, and they had to then spend. I would love to see a detailed accounting of that 55, 42, 295 construction area and how much this has cost the taxpayers over time. Somebody's making a mint, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, man. Got to jump. Have a good weekend, AJ. Appreciate you. Sean, you'll be first. Other side of what? News. Next, Eric Scott.
When severe weather strikes, New Jersey 101.5 is your trusted source, providing critical alerts you can count on. Powered by Earth Treasures Jewelers, Ultimate Collision, and Meyer and DePew.
Hey. 8:09 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey. Taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. So, Eric, was that breaking news that Bob Menendez is on trial? Oh, wait. Hold on. How many years ago was that?
July of 2024.
And it is now May. Wait, is today May 1st?
Yes.
Yeah. May of 2026.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So, when did I come back from the campaign? September 2nd.
Yeah, so about 8 months.
So, let's see. September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, full 8 months now. So I've got another, what do we figure, at least 16 months to go? 18 months to go?
Yeah.
16. Yeah.
Well,
before they pull
math
the
was not your strong point.
No. So a while. Another year, at least. Well, apparently, timing is also not the strong point of this radio station. So, all right. So I figure then if that math works, then it will be winter of 27, we'll be pulling the Bill Is Back promo.
Okay. And song.
Yeah. I'm not pulling the song until they pull the promo.
Okay.
And that's the game that we're playing, and you know we'll have to see. All right, let me ask you this: we could do a bet.
Oh boy,
here's what I'm thinking. There's so many things that I've heard in the news today that I want to bet on that I'm just holding my tongue. It's going to save it because it's more a conversation over a beer than over a microphone. However, will the news promo be updated before the Bill is Back promo is dropped?
Oh.
Huh? What do you think of that?
I'm going to go with yes.
News promo will be changed before Bill is Back is dropped.
Yes, because the person that would do that, A, listens to the show. B, is going to be like, oh, we got to change that tomorrow.
Maybe.
Maybe.
All right. So side bet on this. Let's extend it. You think action by tomorrow. I'm going to set the over under at 10 days.
Okay.
And bet the over.
I'll take the under on that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it. Ah, it feels good. We haven't bet in a while.
Yep.
Is this a gentleman's bet or are we putting up?
How about we were going to do the little glass bottles. Let's do the little Tito's. Bottles.
All right. We'll do the little Tito's. Yeah. Done. In. Yep. All right. Producer Thomas, if you could write that bet down for us, thank you. And then let's get it on the wall. I am a little unsettled by what's on the wall. I don't know if you saw that, Eric. I appreciate the posters, but this one, that top one, have you seen that?
I can't read it from here.
Oh, no wonder. All right, I'll read it to you. It's me hitting a branch after my conversation.
Oh,
and then, right. The headline is Bill Spadia found dead.
From
Tree Branch.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
I mean, our art department got a little creative on that one. So,
now, if you'd said that about Trump, the Secret Service would be here.
Right? No one cares about me. Yeah, I you can't. You can't.
I can't read them from here.
That's funny. And so you have, do you wear glasses?
To drive, I do, yeah.
Producer Thomas is coming in.
Me too.
Oh, is this me as a sardine? I kind of like this. I like this. Oh, my God. So it's, the inspiration for that poster was the sign in D.C.
Yeah,
permanent sign that said, watch for the low branch. And that was me. And that was a reenactment of what it would have looked like.
If you'd have hit the branch.
Had I not read the sign.
Right.
But thank God for government.
Thank God for the
sign. I had a sign, so I knew not to walk headfirst into the tree.
Oh, good Lord.
That's why we can't have nice things. It is 8:13 on New Jersey 101.5. I am very much alive, by the way. Not dead by the tree branch. You know what? Here's what's funny. Kathy is staring at me, and I'm like, did I say something wrong? Is everything all right? Are you on the dump button? And I'm already past the time that I need to break. So here's what I'm going to do. Sean, please hang in there. You'll be first after traffic and weather next.
Yo, what's up, New Jersey?
Looking for something that's so Jersey? Tune in to Jersey Thing with Eric Scott. Weeknights at 6 on New Jersey 101.5. Presented by RWJ Barnabas Health and supported by Parks Casino and Earth Treasures Jewelers. Eric has fun diving into what makes Jersey tick. From the lighthearted quirks we love to the important issues that matter most. Join the conversation at 6 p.m. and watch anytime on YouTube. Jersey Thing with Eric Scott on New Jersey 101.5. Because nobody does Jersey like Jersey.
In the summertime, when the weather is high, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, you got women on your mind. See what you can find. If a daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If a daddy's poor, just do what you feel.
It's 8:24 on New Jersey 101.5. All right, I am not giving any driving or dating advice with that song. I just like it, and I'm thinking about Memorial Day coming up and the start of the New Jersey summer. Let's go to Sean in Edison. We're talking about Jersey drivers. I don't know. One of our truckers earlier said that they do know how to merge and zipper, but I don't see it on 287 or Route 1. I can tell you that. What do you got, Sean?
Hey, Bill. What's going on, man?
How you doing? You all right?
I'm fine, man. I heard you talking about like the speeding going on at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Right?
I'm not out that early. I'm out around 6, and, you know, I guess it calms down a little bit more then because the traffic gets a little slower, but Jersey drivers are crazy. I definitely agree with that. And for you to say about somebody speeding, because I've heard you say before, you were like, you know, saying that there shouldn't be speed limits, so you should drive
it. I have a bit of a lead foot, Sean. I do drive fast, but I keep it within reason. Like, I try not to break 80 miles an hour. But I will go 75, 78 on the highway. Absolutely. I think the speed limit should be 75 on the highways, period. Like,
I agree, because I do about 80 on the parkway, turnpike, you know, as well. I actually got pulled over once for doing 81, and the guy gave me a ticket. He said I was doing 81, but if I would have been under 80, he wouldn't have bothered me.
That bingo, Sean. If you're doing 78, they're not going to bother you, because you're going with traffic. And the truth is, if you're going, you know, you're trying to drive 55 or 65, what's going to happen is the guys 2 miles behind you are going 35. It's going to back the whole thing up. So but let me tell you something, Sean. It is no joke. I'm doing so. Figured I'm. It's 4:30 in the morning. I'm coming up the turnpike. I'm doing about 78, 79 miles an hour, and I get past like I'm standing still. And
it's incredible sometimes. You know. But I did want to just bring up one thing.
Yeah. Go ahead.
About like crazy drivers. I hate when you see people speeding and cutting people off, and then they have, like, the baby sticker in the window saying a baby on board or something like that. And they look at you like you're crazy.
Yes, you're exactly right. You see the baby on board, and they're driving like maniacs. It's really unnerving. One of the reasons that it's so jarring, and I'm now so extra careful in the early morning, is I had a guy, this was one of the first weekends that I was working back in February, and I'm coming up and I'm doing my normal speed. I'm probably doing 70, 75, and I'm coming up on an exit. Some dude in the right lane dead stopped, like just stopped. And this is why I tell people the idea of paying attention, looking in front of you and being situationally aware. Do not let your guard down at all. He was dead stopped. Thank God I saw him. And my mind didn't register right away. I'm like, there's no way the guy's parked there. And I thought, am I on the shoulder somehow? Like, my brain started racing. So I quickly went left and scooted around him. I didn't hear about an accident, so I don't know what happened. But maybe the guy pulled over, thought he was on the shoulder, but he was actually in the right lane. I mean,
yeah. I remember one time, actually, I was riding on the turnpike. It was up North Jersey, and I was coming back down south, and there was a car in the shoulder facing the south. I mean, the
wow. North.
Like, I couldn't believe it. I wanted to stop and take a picture of it, but, you know, I didn't want to be the one to back up traffic. But
yeah, that would make it a lot more dangerous. All right, man, good talking to you, Sean. Be safe on the roads today.
Thank you.
Yeah, enjoy the weekend. All right, guys, it's 8:27 on the other side of the news with Eric Scott. Blue Friday.
New Jersey 101.5 presents Blue Friday with Bill Spadia.
Now, maybe you played hockey as a kid or in high school, and as you get older, you miss the game, so you join an adult league. And, of course, you got to schedule the games after work, so unlike the kids' games, I remember when my son played hockey, the ice times could be as early as 6 a.m., and the older guys play a lot later. So, long day at work. All of a sudden, you got an ice time at 9 o'clock. This happened a week ago. Guys gathered in Hackensack for a 9 p.m. puck drop when something went very wrong. As the game was about to start, one of the goaltenders collapsed face down on the ice. One of the players on the opposing team was off-duty Oradell police officer Frank Stefano. He rushed over to the collapsed man, who had a crowd already gathered around him, and he offered his help. Now, a few of the other players were able to turn the goaltender over on his back and reported that the man still was conscious and communicating with him. But within a few seconds, however, things turned critical as the man lost consciousness. The 53-year-old goaltender had reported a few minutes earlier to his teammates he wasn't feeling great. He was a little nauseous, a little dizzy. Officer Stefano immediately began CPR. And at the same time, Stefano's wife, Catherine, who happens to be a medical assistant at the Valley Hospital and was in the stands with their two kids, joined him on the ice, called 911, and directed that somebody go and get the portable defibrillator. Officer Stefano deployed the AED and shocked the victim once, and he briefly responded
when he was asked his name, but then he went out again. Officer Stefano administered a second shock. This time, it worked. The goalie regained consciousness. Advanced life support and basic life support crews arrived moments later and took over before getting the guy to the hospital. Thankfully, he is reportedly going to make a full recovery. Phil Mollica, who is Stefano's brother-in-law, said during Stefano's life-saving actions that, quote, everyone was kind of in shock. It was pretty impressive. Oradell Police Chief David Gangemi praised his off-duty officer, saying that he, quote, acted without hesitation and saved this man's life. Because Officer Frank Stefano acted quickly, remained calm under pressure, and relied on his training in a life-threatening emergency, this man is alive today. And for the first time in the history of Blue Friday, which, as you know, dates back to 2015 on this show, I am proud to give this honor jointly to Officer Stefano's wife, Catherine. Catherine, you were calm, cool, and collected, directing action, calling 911. And guys, look, I give a lot of speeches to 200 clubs and PBA groups, etc. And we all know that families of our hero law enforcement truly go on every shift with you. And they know that law enforcement members have no idea what's ahead of them on the shift. And you know what? Sometimes you're riding along even when they're off duty. The goal, just to return home safely after a job well done. Well, Officer Stefano, job well done. I want to thank Dan Alexander for letting us know about this story. And it is my pleasure and honor to give this Blue Friday honor to Officer Stefano and his wife, Catherine. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you and all the cops at in Oradell and across this state. Know that we are thinking about you. We're praying for you. And we are fighting hard to make sure that policies in New Jersey reflect the admiration, respect, and critical nature of your job. And that's something that I think needs to be talked about over the next few years. And I will tell you this, that two things. One, as long as I have a microphone, you will have a voice. And two, as long as I have any influence over any of the policies that happen in this state, I am not going to give up. We are going to continue to fight for the things that you as law enforcement officers deserve. And I'll say it again, the respect and admiration is just the baseline. You need to be compensated and have your retirements protected and make sure that government policy does not use you as law enforcement as the scapegoat for their wayward policies, whether it's the sanctuary state, whether it's the elimination of cost of living adjustment, whether it is balancing a budget by reducing the police force, whatever it is. I know you're out there fighting every day hard on behalf of the rest of us, and know that you've got my continued respect and admiration. And I will say that from this position that I'm in, dealing with the public directly, having been on the air now, I'm going into my 12th year, and 14th year in broadcasting, if you count my start with Fox, the reality is that I'm talking to people every day, and I can tell you there are more people like us that respect and admire and support our police officers than those loudmouth, nasty detractors who are out there. So know that you've got the backing of the majority of people. We just need to provide that avenue and that microphone so that your voice is always heard. And I do mean that, you know, on the family standpoint, in a very serious way, the spouses and the kids and the parents of law enforcement officers do ride along with them all the time. So it was an honor for me to be able to not only recognize Oradell Police Officer Frank Stefano and his heroism, but also the calm, cool, collected action of his wife, Catherine. So you guys are a great team, both spanning the law enforcement and medical communities, and we thank you for all of your great service. Okay, guys, it is 8:45. That means traffic and weather coming up next.
From deep discussions to lighthearted conversations, you're listening to New Jersey 101.5.
I want to thank the Parks Casino for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time. Every morning, every hour on the show, get into that summer mode. Memorial Day's coming. It's Friday. Crappy weather tomorrow. It's okay. You'll get through it.
In the summertime, when the weather is high, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. You can find.
Again, full disclaimer, I'm not giving driving nor dating advice with the Mungo Jerry song, but kind of puts you in the right mood for the weekend, doesn't it? All right, let's check in with our friend Ron Osaitis from Monmouth County. Ron, what's going on? You got a big PBA event coming up.
Yes, sir. How's it going, sir? How are you? And first of all, I want to always thank you for mentioning, you know, Blue Friday and highlighting these cops that do amazing things. A lot of people, you know, don't do it. They shy away from it. You never do. And it's, you know, greatly appreciated. And that's why our PBA felt we had to recognize you a couple of years ago, if you remember. And we're honored to call you a friend. And we appreciate everything you do.
Ron, I still have the plaque you gave me, that glass thing. It's still sitting on my shelf. It's actually going to be in the back shot of a new streaming show that I'm doing, launching next week. So it means a lot to me. And you guys are fantastic. And I will tell you, that as I've said it, I said it before, I'll say it again. As long as I have a mic, law enforcement will have a voice. Now, Ron, your PBA, you've got the Monmouth County Conference of PBAs. It's the fifth annual Cigar Luncheon coming up at Addison Park, and that is on when? Is it Monday, right?
It's on Tuesday, sir.
May 6th. Tuesday.
Yep, nope, it's fine. It's immediately following our state PBA meeting, so it'll start most likely around noon. The tickets are $100 at the door, and all the benefits and proceeds go to the Survivor and Welfare Fund to help families of fallen law enforcement, other charities and initiatives the state PBA partakes in. And Addison Park in itself is a phenomenal venue, great food, right in Keyport.
So how do people get tickets? Can they just show up, or and can anyone go? Anybody that supports law enforcement and wants to give to the this cause of Survivor benefits, can anyone show up?
Yes, sir. Anyone can show up. Anyone can reach out to any of the Monmouth County PBAs, you know, to get a ticket. I will make it easy. I'm going to share the flyer immediately after the show on our Aberdeen PBA page. And if anyone wants to follow our Aberdeen PBA on Facebook, it'll be right there. And you can reach out to me, or I can put you in the right direction to get tickets to anybody else.
Ron, are you on Instagram or just Facebook?
We're on Instagram as well, sir. It's the Aberdeen PBA 163, I believe,
so if you want to post that on Instagram and either collaborate with me or just tag me, I will share it in my thread and we'll get it to the audience.
I can do that, sir. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it.
All right, Ron. I love it. Listen, I'm sorry I can't make it this year. I'm definitely going to set aside time next year. I'm traveling on Tuesday afternoon. But look, have a great event. Have a great meeting. Tell all the guys I say hi. And let's raise some money. And in the downtime in between events, if you need anything, if you know, any of the Monmouth PBA groups need anything, you just, you know where to find me. I'm here to help.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. And whatever event we have, I can make you this promise. You will always be an honored guest of mine. I appreciate it.
Ron, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Ron Osaitis from the Monmouth County PBA, great member of law enforcement. The event is May 5th. That is Tuesday. Sorry about that. It is taking place at Addison Park in Keyport. And if you follow me on Instagram at Bill Spadia, I will have the flyer posted there. So check that out as soon as they have it posted. But if you live in Monmouth County and you want to contact one of the local PBAs, you know one of the officers or family members, please do that. It's $100, but remember, it's going to support the survivor benefits of our hero fallen officers. So it's a worthy cause. Hey, grab a cigar, grab a drink, not a drive. I suggest you Uber. 856, Genesillo with the news next.
Your news, your state, your station. Get breaking news, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Sponsored by Hackensack Meridian Health.
It's 9:10 on New Jersey 101.5. I want to thank the Parks Casino for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time. I've been saying this, Jen, this morning, not giving out driving or dating advice with this song, but yeah. I do like it.
It's a great song, but
I love the old stuff.
When you listen to the words, man.
Well, I mean, one drink and a drive, you're going to be you'll be under the limit, right? I mean, otherwise bars couldn't exist, right?
Right, I would think so.
You'd think so. Depends on your tolerance. We've seen some issues around here.
Sure.
Yeah, it's Friday. It's too bad we're not. Nobody brought beer in today. It's too bad.
No. There's no imbibing today.
I know. It's like a serious day.
I don't know why. It's Friday.
It's not really.
It's the
day
before the Kentucky Derby. Come on. Where was
is that tomorrow?
Yes. Where's the bourbon?
God, I don't even.
What's the drink? Is it a mint julep?
Mint julep, right? A mint julep.
Mint juleps are.
I don't drink bourbon anymore.
I know you said that because of the
I'm
sugar.
Off bourbon. No
but
sugar.
Bourbon is one of the horses' names. It's like Dan
I used
and
to
bourbon,
love bourbon.
Dan and Bourbon, something like that.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of the horses'
you gonna
names.
You going to bet on it?
It's not one of mine, but I think it's maybe one of Eric's.
Yeah, but I'm saying, will you place a bet on the Derby?
I already did. Yeah,
did you? How much are you guys going to risk on the Kentucky Derby?
$12.
$12.
And if your horse,
what do you win?
We do three 13? Horses if they come in any place.
Yeah,
a box.
What do you win?
We do win. I don't care.
The odds, but more than 12.
Like 20?
We both pick three horses, so they can come in any order.
I have to see if I wonder if the these predictive marketing sites have it, like Kalshi.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Eric gave me his cheat sheet, and I looked at it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's using the Bet Parks.
He is. He will be.
Casino app, right?
He will be there. Yes, he's.
And he'll be at Parks.
He will be at Parks.
Is he doing an event for this?
I don't think it's for us. I think
it's just recreation.
He's just going.
Yeah.
Bet on the ponies.
Wearing the big hats.
Yeah, oh, I'll bet. You know he's got a hat.
Eric's not going to wear a big hat.
You don't think so? I'll bet he has a whole outfit.
I asked him, and he said Sandra was definitely wearing the big hat.
Well, Sandra, yeah.
He has a fedora that he might be wearing.
Come
I told
on,
you.
Kathy. Yeah. We've been working with this guy for a long time.
Yeah.
He's got outfits for occasions.
Oh, I didn't say he didn't have an outfit. A fedora is different than a big hat.
He's in there taping an interview for his show tonight.
Without a hat? He's hatless?
I don't see a hat. Well, I don't even see a Hawaiian shirt.
That comes out later. The costume change happens.
He puts the captain's suit on, right? Yeah. He looks like...
he's got a wardrobe change.
Who is the Love Boat captain?
Captain Steubing.
Steubing.
Gavin McLeod.
He's got the Captain Steubing outfit that he parades out in.
He does. He has it, yeah.
It's so interesting.
Yeah. I can see Eric with like the powder blue
suit
at the Kentucky Derby with the big with the cigar. And I see the whole thing.
One of my first dates with my wife to be at the time.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't know it was a date. I did.
Wait.
Hold on. You got to explain that.
All right. So because I got hit with the thunderbolt, you know, this whole Italian thing. You've heard about this, right?
Of course.
Like right away when I saw her.
Yeah.
And it took me 7 years. We were friends.
Yeah.
And then I did, you know, to make that transition.
It took you 7 years to ask her out?
Just like that. Seven years later.
Wow.
Now, to be fair.
I love this. No, I like this.
This is why we're happily married 31 years later.
Exactly.
Yeah. But we were friends. Like, we became really good friends all through 4 years of college. And I went off to the Marines.
Right.
And so one of our first dates, I invited her to the Steeplechase in Virginia, which is like the smaller version of the Derby, but it was every year. And people dressed like they did the whole thing with the linen pants.
That's fun. That's so much fun.
Yeah. And what my big memory from it, so I haven't changed in 35 years, was the food.
Of course.
Like they were doing scallops outside under the tent. Like, I still remember that.
But you wouldn't eat that food now, I don't think.
No, it was pretty healthy then.
I think
30 years ago, they weren't cooking with all this crap at these events. They were spending money. I mean, it was anyway.
Did you dress in the linen suit?
Yeah, I did. I can't remember if I had a full linen suit. I must have because I remember.
I could see that.
I have to ask Jody that. I don't know what the hell I was wearing.
Oh, there has to be a photo.
There's got to be a picture of that. That literally, like, that was our first date that I thought was a date that she did not. And because we were friends. And anyway, but you know, the rest is history.
That's cute.
We'll be married 32 years.
That's amazing.
In November.
Congratulations.
How about that? Thank you. All right. It's 9:14. Michael Bowl is on the line. Michael, please hang in there. I want to do our veteran check-in. I just want to do it right after traffic and weather. It's 9:14.
Live personalities, local insights, and traffic and weather updates every 15 minutes. Stay connected with New Jersey 101.5.
9:24 on New Jersey 101.5. All right, let's check in with our friend Michael Bowl from the New Jersey Veteran Network. Semper Fi, brother. How you doing, Michael?
I am doing awesome, Bill. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the patience today. Sometimes I get a little distracted with certain things. It happens. So
you're excited about summer. I heard that.
I'm ready for summer, man. Right? Look, we've got our big barbecue coming up for the veterans in a few weeks. I'm looking forward to that. We've got a lot happening. Tell me what's going on for the vets in the next week.
So we got that stand down coming in tomorrow at Passaic, and that is from 9 to 2 at Passaic County Tech.
Tell me about that. What's happening? What is that again? Describe it.
So a stand down is where you have a resource fair, but yet they bring clothing and all different types of toiletries, personal items, and really just you go there, you bring a bag, and they take care of you, but also do claims and give you resources, housing, food, clothing, anything that can really help you. And there's a lot of good people that we work with that go there as well.
And where's the location and the time?
This is at the Passaic County Tech, 45 Reinhardt Road in Wayne, New Jersey, from 9 to 2.
All right, guys, if you're a veteran or if you want to help out and donate, either one, you can show up tomorrow. That's great. All right, what's next?
I just wanted to ask people, we are looking to start our collection as well. We need shirts, polos, underwear, socks, toiletries. And if anyone can go to like their local print shop and see if they have any shirts that they were misprinted or bulk that they don't need anymore, we would take those and get those out as well.
That is great. Let me ask you this. Can people go to the website to find out where to give it? How do you want to direct it? You want people to call the number and talk to you if they've got something?
Call the number and talk to me, because you know what it is? Sometimes people don't give the right stuff, so I would like to make sure that I micromanage that because of that.
Got it. All right, so if you have a closet full of stuff, you're going to do your spring cleaning, get ready for summer, you got the sweatshirts you're not wearing, the socks, if you've got some new packages of underwear, et cetera, or if you want to go to the store and spend $20 and buy some and then call Michael at the veteran hotline, which is 973-332-1556. We're taking donations now. And, you know, Michael, maybe what we'll do is maybe at the barbecue, I don't know if we can, I don't know if that's closed, if it's only for the veterans there, if we can maybe set a drop point where I can direct people to show up and say hi to us and drop off clothes.
I don't think that's a problem. I'll bring my trucks and
let's do that.
I think we could actually get that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, let's do that because then we're directing people to a spot. And I think that if people, you know, they can stop by a big box store, Walmart or something like that, or Kohl's or whatever, and buy something and then drop it off. But I'll say this again. If you are a veteran and, you know, Mike and I have talked about this now for many, many months, your crisis doesn't have to be mental health. It doesn't have to be alcoholism or it could be something as simple as you got a legal issue that you're concerned about. You've got a housing issue. Maybe you're behind on your rent. Something's going on. You've got something you need to talk to an attorney. You have a situation with your benefits. Whatever it is, if you've got a situation and you are a veteran, call 973-332-1556. And all this information that we talk about every Friday at our veteran check-in is available at njvn.org. All right, Michael, it's going to be a busy, busy weekend. I look forward to the update next week. Anything happening between now and next Friday that we need to know about? Other than these
no,
two
I
things.
Think that's really about it. Like I said, just the collection we're really looking to start. And our recreational therapy events will be kicking off really soon because of the weather. Like you said, summer's coming.
Summer's coming, baby. I love it. All right, Michael, have a great weekend. I will see you soon, and we'll talk next Friday.
All right, Semper Fi, have a great weekend.
Semper Fi, that is Michael Bowl, combat Marine, and runs the New Jersey Veterans Network. I'm proud to be on their board with many other good Americans who are helping out, standing up for our vets. 973-332-1556 is the number. 928 now is the time. And that means Jenner Silla with your news next.
When the weather's fine, you got weather. divine. If a daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If a daddy's poor, just do what you feel.
939 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So I'm playing this because I'm in a summertime mode. Now, Jill and Jen and Kathy, I the disclaimer that I've used is I'm not giving driving nor dating advice.
Thank God.
I don't think I'd go for small favors.
You know, you make your own decisions. If your girlfriend has a rich or poor father, that's up to you, how you deal with it. Not up to me. We also don't know what kind of drink we're pushing here. Could be a drink of water.
I'm going to go with no.
Right? But I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. But again, one drink is not drunk driving. Because if it were, no one could go out to a restaurant and drive.
Right.
Like yeah, that's so,
I agree with that.
So we gotta dial back how people get. So, but today, if you made that song, you'd have all kinds of.
Oh, forget it.
Right? All kinds of mayhem would ensue.
That is a good point. Yeah.
We can't have nice things.
Especially
anymore.
The positioning of it. He says, have a drink, have a drive.
Right. Because he's relaxing. Now, remember, in Louisiana, they had drive-through liquor stores where you could buy individual beers. So long day, and they fought like hell.
Like a roadie to go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, if you think about it, a beer that has 4.5% alcohol, this crappy American beer that's out there that I also don't drink, but you're not going to have any impact on that. A hot summer day, you're driving to Louisiana, you're in the bayou, for God's sakes.
The swampy
bayou.
Right?
You're working outside all day, you sweat out. You pretty much sweat out a six-pack already. I don't have a problem
before
with that.
You get out of the drive-thru.
Right.
Yes.
So, anyway. But Mungo Jerry.
Mungo.
One of the great names in music.
Mungo Jerry.
Right? It's stuck in your head now, right?
Is he a one-hit wonder? Is that his only song?
Have you ever heard of anything else by Mungo Jerry?
I think people assume
it's another group. Like, you assume it's Chicago or somebody. Like, somebody that you've heard of.
He's got to be long
because it's such
dead.
A popular... Can someone do the Google on that?
Mungo, he's got to be long dead, right? Mm-hmm.
Now, I wanted to ask you, something jumped out at me. Other than the whole Instagram thing, did you buy anything, Jill?
I bought two dresses today, and thank God I didn't buy
on Instagram?
Caviar or fish.
Yeah, what else did you get?
Sardines.
My feed is full of fish.
Well, I want yours to be full of A-line V-neck long dresses. I'm talking to Bill's phone.
All right, let's see if it reacts to that.
He talked to my phone, and I end up with sardines.
I talked to your phone, and you ended up with pizza and fish. I have sardine recipes coming at me fast and furious.
Ugh.
But I'm going to try one of them.
Yeah.
I bought a case of sardines. So
I can't do sardines, man. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I do the sardines with eggs.
Ooh. Okay.
Wait, here we go. Mungo Jerry.
First of all, you know that's not a person.
It's a band.
It's not like Jethro.
I thought it should be like Jerry Mungo.
No, I didn't know that either. It's a band.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
It's a band. And
there's no Hootie.
And there's also no fish.
And you'll like this. They're British.
Oh, I like that.
From the 70s, right?
The singer is the only member that's been constant in the ever-changing lineup. His name is Ray Dorsett.
But Ray Dorsett?
One-hit wonder?
But it says here they had...
It's more information than I bargained for.
Spit it out.
I know.
Nine singles in the UK. Nine.
But
in the UK, not here. Not here.
All right, any Mungo Jerry fans out there who like to weigh in... I've got to ask my son-in-law.
It's a great name.
Has he ever heard of them?
I just love that when they're British, they're like, yes, we're coming to America. And then they go to sing and they're like,
they don't sing in an accent. None of them do.
Mick Jagger. Did you ever hear Mick Jagger?
Right.
Joe Elliott from Def Leppard. Like, none of them sing like that.
I just looked at the list of past members.
Yep.
There's 32 past members.
Of Mungo Jerry?
Yes. Yes.
So there's like a Mungo Jerry lineage now. But there are descendants of Mungo Jerry.
Yeah. The only guy that's been in it is the singer.
Is he still alive?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, how old is he? He's got to be 90.
I was going to say they came out in the 70s.
Yeah, because like the Temptations, how many members are in the Temptations?
He's 80.
He's 80. Can we get him on the air?
Oh, we got to get him
on. Yeah, okay.
How do we reach him?
Hello, I'm Mungo.
If anybody knows Mungo Jerry,
your daughter's over the drink. She might be able.
And you know what?
I'm sure Charlie's family knows who
he
is.
We got to look at the other single.
Wait, what's his name again? His name is not Jerry Mungo.
No.
His name
should be
Ray Dorsett.
I want to name Dorsett.
Hello,
I'm Ray Dorsett.
But they had another
Mungo. Come here, Mungo. Couldn't that be a dog name? It could be a dog name.
100%.
Mungo.
The other hit is called
Jerry for short.
Have a drink and a drive, love.
The other hit is called Baby Jump.
Can we hear that? Oh, no, the computer's still working. I forgot.
It's baby jump,
I did that once. I ended the show with Baby Shark.
I remember that.
I got a lot of hate mail
you
for that.
You did. That
people were really pissed.
Why? I was one of them.
Because it got stuck in their head. And like they hate it enough when you're watching it with your kids and the stupid thing gets stuck in your head.
Yeah. You have to have a good cleansing song.
I
Karma
clearly
have, get rid of it.
I have zero short-term memory right now. What's his name again?
Ray Dorsett.
Ray Dorsett. Are we pronouncing the set like on purpose?
Yeah, I think it's Dorsett.
Why isn't it Dorsett?
Maybe it is Dorsett.
Maybe it is.
Dorsett.
You are our resident Dory the Fish. There's no doubt.
Yeah. I've never seen the shark thing, so I don't know what that means.
Finding Nemo.
I never saw that.
Wait a minute.
I've never watched Finding Nemo.
Dory is, you know,
is that
follow
one of those
the pretty
Disney
light.
Things where the mom dies and the fish is alone?
Correct.
I've got a connection you're not going to believe.
I think Kathy
may know this Mungo guy.
Mumbo Jumbo.
It's not a Mungo guy. Remember,
what's
it's
his
like
name again?
Mumbo Jumbo.
Jay Dorsett.
Ray.
Oh, Ray.
But he composed songs for other people. There's a disco song that he wrote that you might know.
All right, let's hear it.
It's not in our system, but it's by Kelly Marie, and it's called Feels Like I'm in Love.
He wrote this?
Jerry Mungo wrote that.
No, he's Jerry Mungo.
Because I can't remember. His name is Jerry Mungo. How did he not change his name to that? That's such a great name. Yeah, that's it. There you go. Thank you, Joe. Yeah. All right, so Ray Dorsett. We want to book Ray Dorsett on the show. And I want to ask him, how did you come up with Jerry Mungo?
I just thought of something.
Tell me.
Ray Dorsett could write your new theme song.
that would be great.
Boom. Now we're on to something.
But how does he go song in the summertime to It Feels Like I'm Hip?
And how does he do that?
Radio.
You know
what?
This is a brilliant musical mind at work.
He's going to do a new Bill Is Back song.
They were stoned and like, I don't know, Mungo. Like that's what I figured
happened.
Where
did Jerry come from? Is there a Jerry in the band? There's got to be.
Got to be.
Just like Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah.
I wonder, did Mungo Jerry...
Fish.
Nobody named Hootie.
Fish, yes.
Did Mungo Jerry record Feels Like I'm in Love and then the one we know is a remake?
Maybe. We have a lot of research to do on it, but if you could just play us out with that song, I would appreciate it.
Don't have it.
No, the Mungo one. The same one I've been playing all morning. The other one. All right, 9:47, traveling weather next.
Laughs, great conversation, and guests you want to hear from. It's 100% Trev. Weeknights on New Jersey 101.5. Brought to you by Estates Roadshow at TMT Cash for Gold.
Guys, it's 9:54. I'm Bill Spadia. Got to get out of here. I want you to have a great weekend. I'll be at Dina's Bistro tonight at 7 o'clock in Tom's River. Great comedy show with Mike Marino and Steve Trevelise and Rora Antonucci. And then tomorrow I'll be speaking at Veterans Park in Bayville at 2 o'clock for the Save Our Schools, Fix Our Funding rally. Hope you can join me there. And then you can check out, I'll be hosting Newsmax Saturday and Sunday morning starting at 7 a.m. Guys, have an awesome weekend. I'll see you right back here, 6 a.m. Monday.